We were on Chesamid Beis. The Gemara is talking about the issues of the need not to allow non-kosher to mix with kosher. It spoke about a knife that was used to slaughter for non-Jews. Now you want to use it to slaughter for Jews. Let's start again at the two dots on Chesamid Beis. I'm Rav Yudah, my Rav. Rav Yudah said, Rav. A tabach, a slaughterer, tzarech shlosha sakinin. He needs three knives. Echad sheshochet ba, one in which he slaughters. Ve'echad shemachatich ba'basar, then another one in which he uses to cut the meat afterwards. Ve'echad shemachatich ba'chalavim, and a third to cut the fat, which is not kosher, which is prohibited. Ha'iviliskan le'chadah, why don't you just use one knife? Ve'lichtuch ba'basar, use it to cut the meat. After you cut the meat, then cut the fat. Answer is, there's a decree. Maybe he's going to cut the fat first. There's going to be shamnunis. There's going to be fat dripping all over the knife. Then when he cuts the meat, that fat is going to go into the meat and therefore make it unkosher. So the Gemara says, even if you have different knives, maybe he's going to confuse one knife with the next. The answer is no. Kevin datzrichinu trei, since we've required him to have these multiple knives, isle hakeira, that's a great way for him to remember. I can't mix them. This is only for the fat. This is only for the meat. And therefore, the fat won't end up getting mixed up with the meat. Another lesson. This is where we had gotten up to yesterday. I'm Rav Yudah, my Rav. Rav Yudah's the name of Rav. Rav Yudah says the name of Rav. Atabach, the butcher. Tzarech shnei kelim shalmayim. Needs two utensils of water. Echad shemadiach bo basar, one in which he's going to wash off the meat. Echad shemadiach bo chalavim, and the other he's going to use to wash off fats. Because if he has only one utensil, so then some of the fat's going to be stuck in that utensil. Then when he washes the meat in that utensil, some fat will go into it. It'll become non-kosher. So Gemara says, no, niskan lechadas, why can't you have just one utensil? But have a rule. Nadiach bo basar. First, you have to wash the meat in it. V'hadu nadiach bo chalavim. And then you wash the fat in it. The answer is gzeir, it's a decree. Shemu yadiach chalavim. Maybe he's going to end up washing fat first. V'yachar kach basar. And then meat. So Gemara says, one second, even if you have two utensils, hashtanami michluf alei, but maybe he's going to get confused. He's going to end up today using one utensil for meat and the other utensil for fat. And tomorrow using that other utensil, which had been used today for fat, tomorrow using it for meat. And the fat's going to end up in the meat and make it non-kosher. Answer is no. Given that Shechiru Tarti, since we've required him to have two different utensils, Isle Keira, that's something that's going to remind him always. It'll remind him to keep it separate, and he's not going to end up mixing fat with meat.
You're allowed to get benefit from the forbidden fat?
Yeah, but you can't eat any of it. No, it's not the same, because chalav and basar is only cooking together. Chalav and basar is, you can't get any hana, you can't get benefit. You can't do it, you can't do the bishul. Here, the chalav is that it's just not kosher. There's ta'am. There's taste of chalav in the basar, in the meat. It becomes not kosher. All right, another issue with the fact that fat, spreads, and you have to be careful not to allow it to mix with meat. So Amar Amemar Mishmei Drev Papa, Amemar Sadeim Rav Papa, when the butcher is cutting up the animal, Lo Lischef Inish Kafli Ilvi Bisra, a person should not take the flank, which has the fat of the kidneys around next to it, and he shouldn't put it over another piece of meat. Because if he puts it over another piece of meat, the fat of the kidneys is going to start to dribble out. And once it dribbles out, some of it is going to flow into the meat and make the meat non-kosher. Didoyiv tarba, because the fat is going to dribble out. Uvala bisra, and if it's on top of meat, the meat is going to absorb it. And so the meat is going to have forbidden fat in it. So Gemara asks, if so, if that's the case, that fat flows out and goes into meat. So even when you have the flanks in such a way, on a you have a flank of an animal and you put it on a board, and so the fat is on top and the fat is not possibly dribbling on top of meat. So what? The fat's going to dribble into the meat that's next to the that's in the flank, right? If you have a flank, you have skin, you have meat, then after the meat, you have fat. So what do you see? So don't have the fat like this on top of other meat. So what? But what about the meat next to it? It's going to dribble out into the meat next to it. And so the Gemara, no, krama mafsik mitatoi. There's a membrane on the bottom of the fat to prevent it from dribbling into the meat that is underneath it. So one second, if there's a membrane, if there's a membrane, says the Gemara, so me'ilai nami krama ika. There's also a membrane on top of the fat. So you should be able to turn over the side of the meat, and so what, that there's fat down there, that's not going to dribble out because there's a membrane around the fat. So the Gemara answers, no. I'd mamash m'shayada d'tafta mifchach. When you have a butcher cutting around, and he's cutting, and his hands are moving around, he's going to dislodge the membrane on top of the fat. He doesn't get to the membrane underneath the fat. So therefore, you can't have the flank turns over, and what was on top now facing meat, because now fat will dribble out of it. But if you have it like this, and you have meat, and on top of the meat, fat, what's on the bottom of the fat is a membrane, and the membrane's not going to allow the fat to spill into the meat. It won't make it unkosher. Yeah, question,
Barak. But the way you're saying, Rabbi, it looks like chopped meat is not kosher.
Why?
Because they're mixing up meat and fat and...
No, it's only certain fats. It's prohibited fats. The fats next to the kidneys and the liver.
It's
only certain fats,
about?
Yeah. Oh. It's the fats that are supposed to go onto the Mizbeach as part of a carbon. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyah B'dvaro. Okay, so now it gets easier. We are at the top of Tes Amud Aleph. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, Rav Yehuda Torah Name of Rav. Talmud Chacham, Tzarech Shiyomot Shlosha Dvarim. A Torah scholar needs to learn, practice with his hands for three things. Ksav, he needs to learn how to write. Why? Because he has to write all sorts of documents. He has to write a get, he has to write a ksuba, he has to sign his name on a shtar, on a loan. So he has to know how to write, he has to practice writing. Number two, Shchita, he has to practice Shchita so that he does it the right way. Namely, sliding the knife across the neck of an animal and thereby slitting the two pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe of the animal, and not making any of the mistakes of, let's say, pausing in the middle of the slide, or stabbing an animal, or chopping an animal, or moving from the back in, sliding into the underneath the pipes, then sliding up. Umila, and he needs to practice bris mila. Reb Chanina bar Shalmi Mishmei de Rava are another things he needs to know and needs to be practicing. Af Kesher Shel Tefillin, he has to be practicing how to tie the knot of the Tefillin Shel Rosh to make the Dalet in the back of the Tefillin Shel Rosh as part of Hashem's name, Shin Dalet Yud. The Shin is on the sides of the box. The Dalet is of the leather and the Yud is on the Shel Yad. Ubirchas Chasanim, he has to practice saying Sheva Brachos, because at a wedding they're going to ask him to say the Sheva Brachos. Tzitzis, and he has to know how to tie the tzitzis. So the Edoch, the first opinion, didn't say that the Talmud Chacham needs to know and practice tying tefillin and tzitzis and Sheva Brachos. We'll tell you, Hani Shrichan, these things are very likely. They happen all the time. So since they happen all the time, everybody's an expert in them. So everybody sees them all the time. Everybody experiences them all the time, so you don't need to have a special, norm that a Torah scholar needs to be practicing Sheva Brachas. He's going to weddings all the time. He hears Sheva Brachas all the time. He knows it. He doesn't need special practice. He learns it on his own. Okay, another halacha. I'm Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda taught the name of Shmuel. Kol Tabach Sheni Yodei El Choshchita. Any slaughterer that doesn't know the laws of Shchita, Aser Lechol Mishchita. So you're not allowed to eat from what he slaughtered because maybe he didn't do it right. What are the laws that he needs to know? He needs to know shehiya. He needs to know that when sliding the knife, it has to go across smoothly. There can't be a pause with a break in the middle of the shechita. Number two, drasa. the shechit has to be done with one slide. It can't be that he chops off the head or that he presses the knife into the neck. It has to be that the knife is sliding across the neck, not being pressed into the neck. Number three, chaladza. Chaladza, the knife can't be covered. In other words, you have to slide the knife across the neck, across the two pipes, and not that he cuts into the neck and then from the back he slaughters so that the knife is covered by the skins of the pipes. And finally, hagrama needs to know that the knife has to be in the right spot. It can't be that the knife is at the wrong part of the neck, too high, too low. And the fifth, which is the law that comes up the most, ikur, the knife has to be a smooth knife. It can't be a knife that has a nick in it, because a knife that has a nick in it is not sliding across and slitting the pipes. Rather, it is uprooting the pipes. It's hooking the pipes and then pulling them out. And that's not kosher shechita. So five laws: no pausing, no pressing, no going in between the pipes or going in from behind the pipes. In other words, the knife has to be open and revealed. You can't have a knife in the wrong spot. And the knife can't be uprooting and hooking. It has to be sliding and cutting. So Gemara says, 1 second. Why do we need Rav Yehuda to tell us the name of Shmuel? My Kamash, what's the Chiddush? Kuluf Sninu, we're going to learn all these things in Mishnayos. So we don't need an Amora to teach it to us. The Mishnayos are going to tell us this is what makes a kosher shechita. The answer is Lo Tzricha. The answer is it's not necessary. This man slaughtered in front of us two or three times. And Shachat Shapir. He did slaughter correctly. And now he slaughters a fourth time without us watching him. So Mao the Tema would have thought the same in Idach Shachat Shapir. Since the other times that we did see him, he did it right. Hainami Shachat Shapir. So this time he also did it right. Because he's well practiced. No, Kamash Man, that's what Shmuel's telling us. Came into Logamar since when we tested him. He doesn't know the laws. Since he never knew the laws, so Zimin the Shai, so then therefore he may have paused, or Daris, he may have pressed. V'lo Yad, he doesn't know that it's wrong. Yeah, it's true that the times we saw him do it, he did it right. But if he doesn't know the laws, he doesn't know how to do it, he doesn't know really what he should be doing, he just happened to get it right the first few times, we can't rely on him, and therefore we can't eat from his Shchit if we didn't observe it and see that it's done right. So since he didn't learn, he might have paused for lo yada, not be aware. Okay, another halacha about shechita. V'am Rav Yehuda mar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda taught another halacha in the name of Shmuel. Hatabach a slaughterer, tzarech shiyivdok b'simanim le'achar shechita. After he finishes the act of sliding the knife across the pipes, he has to check the pipes to make sure that the majority of the pipe was slit, that he succeeded to shecht rubo shel siman, that the majority of each pipe was slit. I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Afanan nami tnina." We also know that there has to be a check after the slaughtering. How do we know? Because the Mishnah says, Rav Shimon Omer. Rav Shimon explains, what is the definition of shehiya? What's the length of time of a pause that makes the shechita no good? Rav Shimon Omer, imshah kedei bikur. If in the middle of the shechita he paused enough time for a check. So what are they checking? So my love, presumably, kedei bikur simanim. That if he paused in the middle of shechita enough time that normally it would take to check the pipes to make sure that they were slaughtered in the majority, then it's a pause in the middle of the shechita that makes it no good. So you see that there's always a check of the pipes after the shechita. Amalei Abaye said no. It just says that it's a pause as long as a check. It doesn't say a check of the pipes. There are other things that can be checked. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, "Kidei bikur chacham." The amount of time for a sage to go to the city with the knife and have the knife checked. Im Kain, the Gemara says, 1 second, if it's the amount of time for the sage to come from the city or to go to the city, Nasat Tvarech L'Shurin, so it depends where you are. So it'll, you know, how long it'll be till he goes to the city, how long this it'll be till he comes to the city. So for one person, it's a long amount of time. For somebody else, it's a short amount of time. So the Gemara says, Ela Kedei Bikur Tabachacham. No, we're saying the amount of time for a Torah scholar who's a Shochet to check the knife, to make sure that the knife is not nicked. So that's a set amount of time. How long does it take to slide the fingernail across the blade to make sure it's not nicked? That's the amount of time that is shehiya. But it doesn't tell you that there's a proof necessarily that after slaughtering, you check the pipes to make sure that the majority of the pipe was, in fact, cut. Okay, but we did say this, that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, that after shechita, you have to check the pipes to make sure that the majority was cut. What about if lo badak? What happens if the shochet didn't check the pipes? May, are you allowed to eat from this meat? Treifa v'asur ba'achila. Asur ba'achila. You have to treat it as an animal that's a treifa, that didn't get a good shechita. I'm sorry, got a good shechita, but it has, you know, holes in major organs. It's anyway not kosher. And you can't eat it because you don't know that there was a good shechita. The Braisa says, well, if you don't know if it's a good shechita, the Braisa says, so then if it's not a good shechita, it means it's not even tar. It's tame, because it's a nevela. So therefore, you have to treat it as a nevela. And therefore, metama b'masa, for it makes tuma even by carrying it. If you carry it, it would also make you tame.
The guy who shake it for a parnasa, and if he screws up, he's not going to say, I screwed up. Yeah. Yeah,
the really most important thing in a shochet is that he be a Yerei Shamayim.
I know, but unfortunately, you know. No.
They are. They have Yerei Shamayim.
All right, okay.
Does the shochet work by himself, or he has, like...
He could work by himself. He could work by himself. So b'maikam ivlgi, but you know, till he gets the ksav, till he gets the written permission to shecht, the people training him, number one, test him about the knowledge, test him about the skill, and also vouch for his yirat shamayim, for his religious integrity.
So he's also liable if someone gives them a cow.
Yeah, he messes it up, sure. Right? That's right.
I heard a story about a shochet that went to a town, and they said, you know, you can live in the town for a little bit and teach our children until we learn who you are.
Because nice. The shochet, very nice.
And the shochet said, no, I'm not going to, if I can't be the shochet, you can't trust me enough to teach your children to...
That's a good point. Even more so, to teach the children, you need Yirat Shamayim.
Right.
That's good. So what's the argument here? Whether if the shechita, if there was no check after the shechita, whether the animals should be treated as treifa or the animal treated as nevela, whether there's impurity or not. So the answer is, the Gemara says, b'di Rav Huna, they're arguing about an important principle of Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna, behema b'chaya, b'cheskas isro medes. When an animal is still alive, so it's presumed prohibited, because it's Eivra Menachai to eat from it. To eat from it is the prohibition of eating from a living animal. So it's presumed not allowed. You need to have some certainty that it was shechted the right way. So therefore, here where we don't know for sure that it was shechted the right way, you have to assume that it stays becheskas iser. Nishchita, but if it was shechted, harehi becheskas heter. Then there's a presumption that it's permitted. Unless you're 100% sure about how it wasn't done right and what made it done no good. So Mar Savar, so one holds the Cheskas Isser Kaima, the animal was in a chazaka of not being shechted when it was alive and it prohibited. Vashta Mesi, now we have something dead in front of us. So if we have something dead in front of us, so it's Nevela. It's Nevela. The other one holds becheskas iser aminan. No, we don't know for sure that there was a good shechita, so therefore it still can't be eaten. But becheskas tuma lo aminan. But it wasn't presumed tameh before the shechita. It was alive. It's tar. So now it's dead. But we don't know that it's tameh. So therefore it's a treifa, but it's not a nevela. Gufu, we learned before. Rav Huna said this is an important rule. Behema bechaya, an animal when it's alive, becheskas iser omedes, is presumed prohibited. Until you have proof that it was slaughtered right. Nishchata, once the animal is slaughtered, becheskas heter omedes, it's presumed permitted. Unless you have proof that it is not permitted. Unless you're sure it's not permitted. Vulema nishchata hutra, Sagmara says, what do you mean? Becheskas heter omedes. Why don't you just say, if it's slaughtered, it's permitted? That even if after the shechita there's now a question, there's now a reason to think maybe there's a problem, as long as we don't know for sure there's a problem, it stays permitted to be eaten. What does that mean? What type of problem showed up? the following. Kedubai minei Rav Abba Mirav Huna. Rav Abba asked the following question of Rav Huna. Bazeev v'natal b'nei me'ayim. Let's say a shochet, a slaughterer, slaughters an animal. After he slaughters the animal, now they're pieces. So a wolf showed up, and a wolf took the small intestine. Mahu, are we allowed to eat from this animal? So wait a second, of course. Natal, the wolf came and took the small intestines. Halesna, we don't have them around to think anything's wrong. That's what we just said. An animal, when it's alive, is presumed not kosher. An animal slaughtered is presumed kosher. So why would we think there's a problem? We don't have anything to show that there's a problem. A wolf took the intestines. No, the answer is like this. Ella, the case is nakav b'nei me'ayin, mahu. What happens if the wolf comes and the wolf bites in to the intestines? So now there's a hole in the intestines. Do we say the wolf made the hole in the intestines? Or maybe the wolf may have bit on that spot that had a hole in it and there was a pre-existing hole. What do you mean? Nakav, but if the wolf made the bite, so we know that the intestines were fine, and it's the wolf that's making the bite. So of course it's kosher. Ella, the point is like this. The animal was slaughtered, and Natlan, a wolf came, and it took the intestine, and then he came and brought it back. He brought it back with holes in them. So now, Ma, we didn't have a chance to check the intestine. So now our question is like this. Can you eat from it? Maybe the bites are in places where there had been holes, and therefore it is a trefa. Or maybe we say, no, the intestines were fine, and the wolf made the bites, so it's all okay. So Amar Leitz, Rav Huna said to Rav Abba, Ein choshen shema b'makom nekev nakav. We don't have any fear. Maybe where there were holes, that's where the wolf bit. No, we assume that it's 100% fine. The animal is kosher. So that's what Rav Huna's point is. That if you have a suffix about maybe there's a trefa issue here, after the shechita, then we assume it's okay. We say since there was a shechita, right after the shechita there was a cheskas hatter, presumption it was done right. So that continues here, and the suffix is okay. Unless you have a reason, you know, b'men nitrefa, what made it a trefa. Otherwise you assume it is kosher.
Excuse me, Rabbi, what happened to the knife that was used in the improper...
So that gets to the question we saw yesterday. Is the area of shechita hot? Is the area of shechita not hot? If the area of shechita is not hot, it's not a problem. If the area of shechita is hot, so then there was an absorption of a non-kosher taste, a taste of trefa, so you'd have to kasher it. So Eisvei, so Rav Abba challenged Rav Huna. We learned... How can you say that we're not worried that a wolf bit something which was already had a hole in that spot? We know that we are worried that where there's a bite, there may have been a hole before. And that's not in regards to the issues of kashrus. It's in regards to the issues of danger. There was a danger. According to the Shulchan Aruch, it wasn't true about their days, but not true about our days. According to the Gra, we should still be careful for it. There was a danger of snake poison. Snakes used to drink from the water, they used to eat from the figs, and they would put their poison there. So you couldn't now eat from a fig that had a bite in it, because maybe you're eating snake poison. So here's, we have the following. Esvei, Rav Abba challenged Rav Huna. We lived in a braisa. Ra tzipor amenaker b'tzeina. Let's say you see a bird pecking at a fig, or achbar amenaker b'avtichim, or a mouse pecking away at watermelons. Choshishin, we're worried now. Shema b'makom nekev nakav. That maybe there was already a hole there from a snake, and this bird is pecking at a spot that already had a hole, and therefore you shouldn't eat it because maybe there's snake poison in it. So you see that we are worried that where an animal bites, there was a pre-existing hole. Amalei, Rav Huna said back to him, that's not a good question. What are you comparing? A ritual prohibition to a physical danger to life? Sakana shiny. When we deal with danger, we are much more careful than when we deal with ritual prohibitions. Amar le Rava, Rava said, Maishna, why? Is that really true that danger is more severe than prohibition? Think about the following. We know, safek sakanta l'chumra. If you have a safek, maybe there's a danger, you have to be strict. Safek yisura also l'chumra. If you have a question, maybe there's a prohibition, you're strict. Amalei, Abaya said back to Rava, no, but there's a difference. The loshani ben yisura l'sakanta, don't you know? There's a difference between dangers and prohibitions. Ilu safek tumim birshas sarabim sveikotar. We know if you have a safek about impurity in a public area, so then it's pure. It's treated as if it's pure. Why? Because we learned from Sota. Sota, Safik Tuma, is, it's a Safik. We don't know what happened in that room with the man other than her husband. And we treat her as if she's Tame. And there, it's only because it's in Rosh Hashanah, in a private domain. So Sota, you see that a doubt in a private domain is Tame, but in a public domain is Tahar. So that, we learn from there to all Safik Tuma. If you do Safik Mayim Megulim, but let's say you have water that may or may not have been uncovered all night in a street, asurin, it becomes prohibited. So you see that sakanta is stricter than isura. So Rava said back, Amar Leh, he said, no, hasam hilchasa gemiula misota. There's halacha lemoshe misinai, and a pasuk and a derivation that you learn from sota, that safek tuma in a public domain is tahar. But basically, we should treat it as if it's tamei. So masota b'shus hayach, just like sota, the safek is only treated severely when it's in a private domain. Aftuma, so tutuma, only b'shus hayach, it is safek tamei tuma. But maybe sakanta is not stricter than isura. So the Gemara says, no, we see that, so the Gemara says back, no, Masav Rav Simi challenged Rava from a Mishnah. You learned in a Mishnah, Sheretz, let's say you have a lizard, one of the dead eight shratzims, let's say a dead lizard, Befi Chulda, in the mouth of a weasel. And this weasel, which is carrying a dead lizard in its mouth, is hopping about amongst loaves of chuma. Now, were it to drop the dead lizard on the loaf of chuma, it makes a tummy. So, suffik nagat, we have a suffik whether this weasel that has in its mouth a lizard touched the loaf of chuma. Suffik lo nagat. Suffik, maybe it didn't touch. So sfeiko tar, the safek is tar, even in a private domain. However, ilu safek mayim megulim. But when you have a safek about whether the water was left uncovered, and a safek about whether a snake got into it, asur, you're not allowed to drink it. So you see that safek sakanta, safek about danger, is treated more strictly than a safek about ritual, a safek about tuma. So the Gemara says, no, hasanami there too. Hilchos ha-gemiri la misota. That was a special halacha l'moshe misinai, a special verse that's derived from sota. Ma sota davar sheyesh badas lishal. A sota is a case of a safek, but it's about the object in which there's a safek. The woman, the married woman, she's a woman who has knowledge. She can ask a question. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Afachanami, so that tells you that when you have the rule that safek tumas tameh, davar sheyesh bo das lishol, when it's something where there is das, where the person has das to ask, but when you have loaves, they can't ask, they can't speak. There's a special gzeres hakasav that a safek about loaves is tar in a private domain. But you can't learn from here the rule that safek of iser is treated less severely than a safek of danger. Maybe they're treated the same, wherever you don't have a pasuk. So Rav Ashi tried to prove from the following. Tashma, come here from a braisa. We looked in a braisa, tzlochis, if you have a bowl of pure spring water that you've collected in order to mix in it the ashes of para aduma to sprinkle on a tameh person and make him tahor, shehinicha megula, that you left this bowl of spring water uncovered. Uvao matzah mechusam, you come back, you find it covered. Tzmeos, and now it's tameh, because you have to worry, maybe a person came and covered it, and he was tameh, he touched it, and he made it tameh. Shani Omer, because I say, Adam tameh nichnas l'sham, maybe a person whose tameh walked in there, v'chisa, and he covered it. However, if you left the bowl of the water covered, uva matzah megulah, and you came and you find it uncovered, so then, If it was in a spot where a weasel could get to, or nachash, or a snake, the different Gamliel who holds, according to Rabbi Gamliel, oshiyard batal balayla, or it's something where dew may have gotten into it. So now psula, it all becomes disqualified for use as paraduma waters, but it's not tummy, because we don't think that a tummy person touched it, and therefore we assume it's not tummy, even though it's disqualified to being used as paraduma waters. Rabbi Bishum and Levi, Bishum and Levi explain matam. What's the reasoning? The reason is like this. If you left it covered and you find it uncovered, it's likely that some creature, could be a rat, could be a weasel, could be a snake, came, pushed the cover off to drink from it. So therefore, maybe it's an animal. Maybe it's a person. So there's a very small likelihood of it being a person. Therefore, it stays tahar. However, ein darkon lachasos, if it was uncovered and now you find it covered, it's not normal to find a purse. It's not normal for an animal to come take a cover and the animal to drop the cover on it. So who put a cover on it? Must have been a person. Maybe it was stomach. There were stomach. So that's true about water. Vilu safik mayim agulim. So this is all about a doubt of impurity. But when we have a doubt about maybe the water was left uncovered, we know asur, and you're not allowed to drink from it. So Shmamina, we finally have a proof. You see from here a proof. Chamira sakanta me'isura. We are more strict about a doubt, about a danger, than we are about a doubt of ritual. That resolves Rava's question. That resolves the question we had begun. We begun with the question of how can you say that if you don't know if there was a hole there and now you have a wolf that came and took the intestine and brought it back with holes, we're not worried. Maybe where he bit there was already a pre-existing hole. You see, in regards to the fear of snake poison, we are worried about a pre-existing hole where we don't know of there being a pre-existing hole. Well, there's a big difference. One is sakanta, danger, and the other is isura. Okay, there's also a shiva minyan, so if some of us could go up to the shiva minyan, I think that's important. I think the Torah was brought, but we should go over to the shiva minyan.